Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4, I'd like to begin reading in verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophet. Cook a big bowl of soup. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine, one that had not been cultivated, one that came naturally from the cursed earth, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there's death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And my marginal reading says, No evil thing. And that's the way the word is generally translated. And there came a man from Baal Shaisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, What should I set before 100 men? He didn't have but 20 pieces of bread. He said, Give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. They're going to be full and there's going to be food left. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Lord, we come into your presence with thanksgiving. We're so thankful that you're God. We're so thankful for all your glorious attributes. We're so thankful for your salvation. We're so thankful for the forgiveness of sins. We're so thankful that you have made a way to be just and yet justify us. And Lord, we give thanks. We pray for your presence and your blessing in the service, that you would be pleased to speak, that you'd enable us to hear your voice, that your gospel would be preached in the power of your Spirit, that we might be given hearing ears. Lord, we confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. Truly, we have to say with thy servant David, our sin is ever before us. Lord, how we long for that time when we will sin no more. Lord, we ask that you would be with those that are going through trouble and trial, that you'd draw near to them. We pray for those that are sick, that you'd heal them according to your will. And Lord, we ask that you would use all things for your glory and for our good. Lord, give us grace to love you more and give us grace to love one another more. Cause your word to go out in power wherever it's preached. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, the scriptures I read are scriptures about eating. Eating. Eating is very near and dear, I suppose, to all of us. I love to eat. It's one of the great pleasures of life. And eating is a issue of life and death. If I don't eat, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to starve to death. I'm going to die. And if I eat the wrong thing and ingest the wrong thing, something poisonous, what would it do to me? It would kill me. Now, in this passage of scripture that I just read, we have two aspects of eating. One where the food is poisoned, and if you eat it, you'll die, and that poison is made not to be. When the meal is cast into the food, that which was evil was no longer there. Now here's a miracle where something that is no longer is. In physics, supposedly, I don't understand this. I feel stupid talking about it because I don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about this, but I know that matter, it's impossible for matter to cease to be. It can change forms. I understand that. It can change forms, but the amount of energy that's in the universe is fixed. So I read that anyway. But the point is, you can't make something to not be that is. Well, here, that happened. It's poisoned, and it's no longer poisoned. The evil is gone. And in the next miracle, a man comes up and presents Elisha with bread. And it wasn't enough bread to fill 100 people. As I read, that means 20 pieces of bread. The loaf was enough for a man. And so that is enough for 100 men to have one-fifth a piece of bread. That would satisfy them. You know that's not going to happen. But here in this miracle, we have something coming into existence that was not there before. It's the same as the Lord feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000, only on a smaller scale. 20 pieces of bread feeding 100 men, and then being so full that there was food left over. And here we have an example of matter, and this is another thing that they say is impossible, matter being brought into the universe that was not there before. Matter being brought into existence, and that's in the miracle of the food. Now, the gospel is in this. The gospel is in this. My sin in the gospel is made to not be. Something that really is, no longer is. Now that's gospel, isn't it? My sin that's so real is made to not be. And I'm made to be what I was not. Holy. Holy. Now this is the work of Christ for us and the work of Christ in us. The work of Christ for us. What my sin is made to not be. The work of Christ in us. I'm made to be what I was not. I'm made to be holy. Now we see the gospel so clearly in this issue of eating. Now eating, it's a pleasurable experience, or it can be a not so pleasurable experience. I realized that when I was thinking of the stew they were making. I thought, is this vegetable soup? I hate vegetable soup. I mean, it's when Lynn's made it, I call it dog soup. And why? It's not fit for a dog to eat, I'll say. You know, I don't like vegetable soup, but if I was hungry, I'd like it. It'd be different, and it would be a pleasurable experience. Well, let's look at this together. Verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. There was nothing to eat. That makes me think of where we are by nature, nothing to eat and no way of coming up with anything. And Elisha came again into Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, a famine. And the sons of the prophets are sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. Make a big bowl of soup. Now where the food came from, I don't know, because there was a famine in their land. But he said, make this big bowl of soup so everybody can eat. Verse 39. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine. One that had not been cultivated, one that was just growing wild out of the cursed earth. and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. Now, we don't read where Elisha told this man to go out and look for food. He never told him to do it, but he did it. He thought it was the right thing to do, and he ended up getting poisonous gourds that would kill people if they would have eaten them, and he didn't know about it. Now, what this tells me is that if we don't have a precedent in the Word of God to do something, don't do it. We have to have a precedent in the Word of God. We don't read where Elisha ever told him to go out and gather these vines, but he did it thinking he was helping out. But if you don't have a precedent in the Word of in the worship of God, if we don't have an example, this is what they did in the Bible, we're not to do it. Do you have that high view of the Word of God to where you believe that? I mean, it is to control everything we do. And this man shouldn't have done this. And the Scripture says, he knew it not. He knew it not. Now, the overwhelming thought in preaching is, I don't want to preach something that I don't know the Bible teaches. It scares me. I was thinking last night, I'm overwhelmed with the thought, I want to preach what I know. Not simply what somebody's told me, but what I know. Like, I know the Bible's the Word of God. I don't know this simply because I was taught it as a youth, although I was, but I know it is. We don't have anything if we don't have the Bible. I know God is, as the Bible presents Him to be, utterly sovereign. He's God. He's in control of everybody and everything. And I love it being that way. I know from the Bible and my own personal experience, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinful human being right now. But I know, thank the Lord for this, I know that God elected a people. I know that Christ died for them and accomplished their salvation. I know God's grace is saving toward every one of them. And I know every one of them will persevere all the way to the end. What is the proof that God's done something for me? I persevere in the faith all the way to the end. And I don't quit. This man threw these gourds in, and he did not know what he was doing. Now, these wild gourds poisoned the stew. Look in verse 40. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there's death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. It would have killed them if they would have eaten. Now here's the miracle, verse 41. But he said, then bring meal. Now this ground up wheat, I think this represents the cross. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think it, I know it. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, bring this meal. And he cast it into the pot and said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot, no evil in the pot. That's the word. I don't know why the translators translated it harm, because it's always translated evil. There was no evil in the pot. Now, this dearth represents our natural state. That's us. Starving, dying, can't come up with food. We will die if the Lord doesn't do something for us. Amen? You know that's so. Now, the prophet says, put meal in the pot. Start cooking. And the wild gourds represent false doctrine. Didn't Paul say, a little leaven, just a little, leaveneth the whole lump? Now there are only two beliefs, grace and works. Isn't that so? There are only two beliefs, grace and works. You put a work anywhere in salvation where it's dependent on something you do for it to happen, it's all works. If you begin salvation, well, you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior or you won't be saved. That's works. In the middle of salvation, you can become progressively more pleasing to God, more holy through your efforts of self-denial and putting down sin. You can become more holy. That's works. If at the end you're given a higher reward because of what you've done that somebody else didn't do, that's works. That is death in the pot. If salvation, if me being accepted by God is dependent upon me doing anything, that's death in the pot. Now, what does he say to do? Pour meal into the pot. He doesn't say try to look for the poisonous pieces and get it out. You can't do that. There's only one remedy for death in the pot. The gospel. The gospel. The meal in the pot made the evil to not be. Now, wherever you got men, you're going to have death thrown in the pot. Thing about a believer is they can't swallow it. They can't swallow it. There's death in the pot. There's no life in this. There's death in the pot. This will kill me. What's the only remedy? The preaching of the gospel. Throwing the meal in the pot. And the no evil. And that's what justification is. No evil. I stand before God perfect. And the only thing that does that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 42, we have another miracle that takes place. Now, there was no harm in the pot after the meal was thrown in. Verse 42, and there came a man from Baal Sheasha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. Now, here we have him bringing the first fruits. Now, this is so important in my giving. I'm not to wait until the bills are paid and entertainment's taken care of and see how much I have left over and then give. That's not giving. That's not giving. Giving is giving of the first fruits. My first priority in the money the Lord gives me is what I give to the cause of Christ. That's the first priority. And if I'm just waiting to give what's left over, that's not giving. Don't give to the Lord the leftovers. It's the first fruits. And this man was bringing the first fruits. And this is so important. I put an article by Henry Mahan on giving. I hope everybody will read that carefully. He gives 9 Bible words about giving, and it's just so good. But this man gave the first fruits, and that's the way I am to give. He gave to the man of God the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he, the man of God, said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men, 20 pieces of bread? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. There's going to be food left over. They're going to become so full and they're going to become so satisfied that there's going to be food left over. Now, when something was made not to be, that's justification. No evil in the part. I stand before God right now, just, righteous, without sin. My sin has been made not to be. Now, that's talking about the work of Christ for us. This second is talking about the work of Christ in us. A miracle took place. Matter was brought into existence that heretofore had not been in the universe. This is the same as the Lord feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000 with much left over. I'm made to be what I was not. a creative act of God. Now, this was a miracle creation, wasn't it? And isn't that what the new birth is? Isn't that what regeneration is? A creative act of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. I'm made to be something that I was not before. I'm made to be a worshiper of Christ. Now, what does he say? Let's go on reading. Verse 43. And the servant said, what should I set before 100 men? He said, again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Now, here's the point. If you're eating Christ crucified, whoso eateth my body and drinketh my blood, if you don't do that, you don't have eternal life. We're feeding off Christ. This is our meal. This is what sustains life. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If I'm feeding on Christ, I'll be satisfied. I don't know how many times I've heard people make a comment with regard to the gospel. There's got to be something else. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. If that's my response, I've never eaten. You see, if you eat of the gospel, you're not going to be satisfied with yourself. I don't mean that. You're going to be utterly dissatisfied with yourself. And you won't be satisfied until you awaken His likeness in that sense. I think of what David said, as for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awaken thy likeness. I won't be satisfied with myself until I awake in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ after I die. I'm not going to find satisfaction in myself. I'm frustrated with myself and hate myself. But I am satisfied first with God as He is. I love the way He is. Every attribute I'm completely satisfied with, and I wouldn't change Him if I could. I'm satisfied with His holiness and His justice and His grace and His sovereignty and His power and His eternity and His, just go on, His omniscience. I'm so satisfied with Him. I'm so satisfied with Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm so satisfied with being saved by His righteousness. Are you satisfied with that? My conscience is satisfied that God looks at me and is pleased. I'm so satisfied with His blood, what His blood actually accomplished, how I'm clean before God, how my sin was put away and made not to be. I am satisfied with the gospel. And there's plenty left over. I'm just plumb satisfied with Him. Now, you have eaten of the gospel when you're satisfied with the gospel. When you're satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not looking for something else. Somebody's looking for something else, hadn't found the one thing in the first place. I am satisfied with the gospel. Now, once again, I repeat, I'm not satisfied with myself, and you're not satisfied with yourself. But one day, I will be. But here is the gospel in these two miraculous miracles that took place. That which was my sin is made to not be. No harm in the part, no evil. It's what the Bible calls justification. The work of Christ for you. And here's the work of Christ in you, that which was not. I was born into this world unholy, sinful, a natural man. But I was regenerated. I was made to be what I was not. I was given a new nature that was not there before. I was given a new heart. And what is the evidence that you have eaten of the gospel? Satisfaction. Satisfaction. The Lord said, whoso drinketh of this water, this water of the earth, he'll thirst again. You might have some kind of temporary satisfaction out of it. You know, people do things to make themselves feel better. Well, you'll feel better for a little while. A little while. Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be a well of water springing up in him unto eternal life. Well, next week, we're going to consider Naaman. I don't know whether I'm going to do it all in one week, but that is probably my favorite Old Testament story. Naaman, the leper, and how he was cleansed. Okay.